Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. We gather in the beauty of this sanctuary each Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. to root our lives in grace. We're located in the corner of 53rd and H Street in East Sacramento. This year, December 24th happens to fall on a Sunday, and so we want to make a special note of our schedule for worship services on Christmas Eve. We will gather one time on Sunday, December 24th in the morning. And that experience at 11 a.m. will be the closing of our worship series called The Hopes and Fears of All the Years. As we move toward the mystery and the hope of Christmas, we invite you to join us on Christmas Eve at 11 a.m. And then we will transition the sanctuary and prepare for Candlelight Christmas Eve. We'll gather at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary for a worship experience that will be inviting for children and families, but always welcoming to persons of all ages. At 5 p.m., we'll gather around the story of the birth of Christ from the Gospel of Luke, and we'll weave that together with carols and then the singing of Silent Night as we close by passing the light of Christ one to another and leading us out into the world. And then finally at 11 p.m., we'll return here to the sanctuary for Candlelight Christmas Eve once more. At 11, our worship will be rooted in the story of the birth of Christ from the Gospel of John. That story will be woven together with carols as we also gather around the sacrament of communion and then pass the light of Christ as we sing Silent Night. So we hope that you will join us this Advent season as we prepare for the coming of a Christ child to meet the hopes and the fears of all of our years.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be.
I'm going to share the gospel passage with us this morning, which is Mary's song, recorded in Luke in the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen.
I've been alone when I'm sick. knowing that I've got you. There's only us when the lights go down. You are my heaven on earth. You are my hunger, my thirst. I always hear this voice
grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. It was a very cold Saturday morning in December when my mother was getting ready for work. She put on her makeup, she got her hair done, she ironed and pressed her uniform, and all the while she was feeling very uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that she told my dad, "I think I'm in labor." So they got in the car and they drove to the hospital, and they arrived and they met the nurse, and my mother had her hair done and her makeup was on, and she had a pressed and perfectly creased uniform. The nurse takes her back and examines her. And she tells her, "You know what? I really don't think you're in labor. This was a false alarm." So they sent her home. She went home and the discomfort and the pain only increased over time. She told my father that, "You know what? I think that this baby's ready to come out." But before she left, she took off her makeup. She put her hair back in a ponytail. This is how she tells the story. And she told me that she looked at a hot mess. She went back to the same hospital, saw the same nurse, and the nurse said, "Baby, I think you're in labor. Let's get you set up." Honoring a saint like Mary, for me, isn't a form of idolatry or worship, but it means to honor the uniqueness of her story. This story of a poor teenage young girl who was pregnant without the benefit of marriage. And the way in which she finds out she is pregnant stretches our imaginations a little bit too far. It pushes us beyond the realm of the possible. And it brings us right up to the edge of the cliff where so many of us stop. You know that cliff of you're not good enough, or that this could never happen, that this dream is too far away from reality, or that goal is outside of our reach, where our intellect tells us to stop. Mary jumps off of that same cliff. And we don't find her falling in a gruesome death. No, we find her soaring. And this story teaches me that maybe just maybe, it's time for us to defy gravity as well. Only two of the four Gospels include information about this angelic announcement about Mary's pregnancy. And while Matthew's gospel focuses on a dream that Joseph had, Mary is presented in Luke's gospel. And Luke does that at great risk. He centers this story around this young teenage girl who was pregnant without the benefit of marriage. And not only was this girl pregnant, but she was engaged. And the term engaged to be married, as many of you know, is a loaded statement. If you have ever planned a wedding or watched someone prepare for a wedding ceremony, you know to keep a safe distance. because wedding planning is messy. It can be a stressful process. And added on top of what we are accustomed to in the 21st century was the cultural custom in that time of the dowry. Weddings were methodically and planned and thoughtfully executed. And an unplanned pregnancy threatens the preparations that were laid. In Matthew's gospel, Joseph even thinks about dismissing Mary in order to preserve her dignity. This announcement comes amidst all the planning, the swirling mess of invitations, the public reputations of this young couple. And almost rudely and without permission, God speaks. And God has a way of disrupting our most carefully laid preparations and throwing them away. Have you ever had life disrupt your plans? Have you ever tried to be strategic about the affairs of your home or your business, only for them to be interrupted by something that was not on the schedule? God isn't against plans. We just finished a worship series where God was working through the strategic planning of Ruth and Naomi. But sometimes God steps onto our electronic calendars and says, I have an announcement to make. While Mary is anxious about her plans to be married to Joseph, she was also concerned about the logistics. Gabriel, the angel, says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. You can almost hear the trumpets going off in the background and the drums. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Dun, 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 dun. And the crowd goes round. Go, Jesus! And Mary is standing amidst all this excitement. Says, wait a minute, brother angel. I'm a virgin. Joseph and David had not yet consummated their marriage. So when Gabriel makes this announcement of how Mary's child will be great and do all these wonderful things, she is perplexed because in her mind, it's not possible. Today, both my sister and I have a master's level of education. But for so much of my childhood, even that seemed to be impossible. When I was a young boy, my mother was making just above the poverty line in inner city Detroit. And we were not receiving regular financial support from my father because he didn't have a job. Yet she said yes in the midst of the impossibility of it all. My mother tells a story of when she got pregnant with my sister. She was pregnant when I was almost 6 years old. And that autumn, our car broke down. And my mother did not have anyone to take me to school or to take her to work. So we woke up at 5 o'clock or so every morning to catch the bus so that we can go on about our day. And I loved catching the bus. And as a pregnant, very, very pregnant mother in her third trimester, you can probably imagine that my mother hated catching the bus. One day I was so excited to catch our connecting bus line that I ran off of the bus and I ran to the next bus stop and I got on the bus without her. Meanwhile, my mother is carefully stepping off of the bus only to step on some ice on the sidewalk and slip and fall. Her legs swelled up to 3 times its normal size. Yet she knew that I had to go to school and that she had to go to work. So she took me to school. She put in her 8 hours at her work and arranged for us to get a ride home. I watched her work for 12 days in a row only taking off every other weekend, only to make barely $20,000 a year. Yet we never went hungry. Our utilities were never cut off. We were never evicted. God brought us through that. And in a like manner, Gabriel reassures Mary to look around and see how God is at work. He says, "And now your relative in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." For many of us, the next step in God leads us down a path of impossibility in the forest of ambiguity. We won't have the luxury of knowing how it's all going to work out. But just like that day in Galilee, God is saying, look around. Every day, people are encountering unexpected situations and navigating impossible circumstances. And they are making their way through it with God's help. And I know that this can be unsettling news. We have become masters of putting ourselves and others into boxes. And we know how to get and keep a good job. We know how to avoid situations that make us uncomfortable. And we know how to create a life where there is very little unknown. We feel comfortable in our boxes and we feel safe in our boxes. We are very familiar with the intricacies of our boxes. And God is saying, get out of the box. You may have said that there is no way I can forgive that person, or I simply can't start that nonprofit to benefit the community, or even that you have spent too much time away from church and you're not just a church person, or that you can't possibly be a spiritual leader. That's what pastors are for. But God is saying, get out of the box. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all that stuff that you've been worrying about will work itself out. Look at your neighbor, that means the person sitting next to you, and tell your neighbor, get out of that box. Gabriel reassures Mary, the future mother of Jesus. And this is her response. Let it be with me according to your word. She simply says, yes. When I was coming up in the Pentecostal church, we would sing a very, very simple song. It was the denominational anthem for the Church of God in Christ. And it's not a complicated song. It just has one word. And it simply says, yes, 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 yes. My soul says yes. My heart says yes, yeah, yes, yes, yeah, yes, yeah, yes, yes, yes. This yes was a covenant with God that we made and we renewed on a weekly basis. Whatever you need me to be, yes, Lord. Whoever you need me to minister to, yes, Lord. It's getting a little uncomfortable for me right through here, but yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My soul says yes. My mind says yes. My heart says yes. And when you say yes, the captives can go free. When you say yes, people who have lost vision will regain their sight. When you say yes, the oppressed will be released. And when we say yes to God, we open the door for the divine to work and flow in our lives. It may be tempting to say no, and rely on our own understanding. But when we say yes, we create a space for our lives and in our lives for the miraculous to happen. Your yes will not only bless you, but it blesses the world. One woman, one poor teenage woman who was pregnant without the benefit of marriage, said yes. And her openness birthed a child who would change the course of history. What is your next step in God? What is that thing that you dismissed because you were perplexed or fearful? What dream did you have for your life or your family that you are rejecting because it seems impossible? What vision for the world has God planted in your heart? And how will you respond to God's call? Amen.
Lost and weary traveler, searching for the way to go. Stranger, heavy hearted, longing for someone to know. May you find light, may you find light, may you find light.